Next section, the intimate opportunity, just do it infrastructure. There are 4 points I want to bring across in this section, because whatever the grand vision is and whatever the schemes are, we can't wait for those. We're going to have to just do it. So there are 4 points I want to impress. The first one is take action. If you live in an area where infrastructure is falling behind, you need to face that. You need to look at the impact it's having on your health, your business, your effectiveness, your finances, your competitive position across the board. If you don't understand what I mean, go travel to Switzerland or Sweden or Singapore and see what it's like to live in a place that's got a great infrastructure. So you either need to develop strategies to outwit the harm that's being done to your time and productivity from living with a lousy infrastructure, or you need to move. But whatever you need to do, you need to identify what is happening and take it into account. Don't let poor infrastructure steadily eat away at your resources. Two, you need to identify opportunities. The reality is that all the changes that we've been talking about is now opening up more and more of infrastructure to smaller groups, to entrepreneurs, to communities, to sort of groups who just do it. I published in the web presentation the Guernsey Experience story, a wonderful story that was published up at Sam Smith's Progressive Review about Guernsey, which is an island state in the British Channel Islands, that just started issuing its own paper so that it could start doing lots of infrastructure projects around Guernsey. And of course, it triggered a massive increase in the economy without triggering any inflation. There were interest-free state issued notes. And it's a story that is an example of why I'm so big on local currencies, equity crowdfunding, and place-based databanks and financial disclosure. These are all financial tools that if we were free to use them without interference, you would see an explosion of investment in local development. You got a lot of people sitting around without jobs, and you got a lot of tasks that need to be done and much upgrading in the quality of the physical infrastructure and the quality of the care for the land. So these kinds of financial tools are very, very important, and freedom to use them would, I think, result in tremendous increases. And now that crowdfunding is becoming more popular, that's one. I put up several examples of communities or entrepreneurs who'd use crowdfunding to do things. One was the Denver Bike Lane and a civic center in Wales. I also put up an example of a German project, because energy is a very important issue for local areas if you can reduce your energy costs. But I put up a story of a German village that brought up its own power grid. A story in Portland where the water system now has extra component in the pipes, and as the water flows through, they're having it generate electricity. So the story is Portland to generate electricity within its own pipes. Another example of what I call stacking functions explores the possibility of building roads with solar panels. It was a crowdfund by a group of entrepreneurs that gathered a lot of energy over the last year. Another story of entrepreneurs in Holland who are using three robotics that do 3D printing, that are literally 3D printing bridges across canals in Amsterdam. Again, an example of what the new tools can do. I put up links to the Global Village Construction Set. We had March Jakubowski on the Salieri Report 2 years ago, as well as Dale Dougherty on the Maker Movement. We're starting to see all the collaborative practices that happened with open source software now moving into hardware. And of course, hardware gets you into infrastructure and building infrastructure. And then I talked two examples in the transportation area of improved communications technologies being used to change. One is a transportation services with small buses that now competes with the municipal. We're seeing entrepreneurs move in on the municipal market, clearly. And then Zipcar, the drivers, citizens sharing cars on a private basis instead of owning their own. I wanted to stress also that building out infrastructure does not just require high-tech solutions. One of my favorite and our hero of the year recently was Alfred Moser, who is the inventor who came up with a solution that would allow homes to be lit with recycled soda bottles. You put water in the soda bottle, turn it upside down on the roof, and suddenly it's bringing in the sunlight from the sky. It's a perfect example of something that dramatically replaces a huge amount of power plant capacity, costs very little money, and recycles soda bottles, the plastic that's messing up the world. And then a link to Pam Warhurst, who converted local landscapes into gardens in her village in the UK. Anyway, these are all wonderful examples that show you sort of major impact, just do-it-yourself infrastructure projects. So the second thing is, you know, take a look at how the world is changing and see where the opportunities are to just do it, including it, you know, that could be a business opportunity for some of us. Number three, the kids are enormous natural resource or an untapped resource for thinking about designing, analyzing, and finding opportunities in the infrastructure area. And so number three, please engage with the kids. I put up two examples that we've used on the Solari Report of kids who are just making life-changing contributions. One was 16-year-old Irish girls who came up with a crop yield breakthrough, which would dramatically change. If you can get your existing land and existing irrigation systems to produce far more in crops, you lower the stress on the infrastructure budget, obviously. And then a Vancouver high school student who developed an air circulation system for aircraft cabins. Remarkable. And so if you can use that to convert your existing planes or to upgrade your planes, again, another big impact. And it's all from using innovation in your intelligence to do things as opposed to spend more money on more planes. It seems to me if we have our kids sitting around doing standardized testing in Common Core curriculum, which is a complete waste of their time, in my opinion, we could at least have them spending all that time doing open source analysis and design of our infrastructure. Now, clearly, don't wait for the schools to make these changes. We can all, in how we buy books, DVDs, games, or engage with kids, the trips we take them on, what we teach them, we can start to engage with them on infrastructure now, teach them how empires have been engineered historically or how the great industrial projects made a huge difference. So do that now, because if you look at where their future opportunities lie to contribute, it's going to be as engineers, it's going to be as municipal leaders, it's going to be as entrepreneurs, it's going to be as founders of startup companies, it's going to be as people who can build their own home or design their own gray water system. So dealing with the hardware of our society is going to be a big opportunity over the next 20 years. If we're going to spend $60 trillion as a society globally on infrastructure, that's going to create a lot of opportunity. So you want to get your kids and your grandkids thinking about where the opportunities are for them to contribute. I said when I wrote the web presentation, I know there's someone out there thinking, look, we can't do this. There's no money. It's all going to collapse. And I put up the link to participatory budgeting. If you get a hold of all the budgets for your town and your region and you start digging in and looking where all the money's been going, I assure you there's plenty of money to do things with if we reorganized and reoptimized the money. But it starts with transparency and looking at the place-based economics in our place and then getting the political leverage we need to stop wasting money on, you know, just an endless number of things that have been pumped up in price by politics or fees for our friends. So the money's there. We might have to dig in and figure it out. Number four, consider the impact on your investments. We're going to be seeing infrastructure emerge as an important topic for investors. There are more and more funds and ETFs which focus on infrastructure now. Traditionally, they've underperformed the broader market. Whether that will continue to be so or not, I don't know. But I think we're going to be seeing more funds, more ETFs, and we're going to see more startup companies that serve niches in the infrastructure market. There are already several large publicly traded U.S. and European engineering companies that serve growing infrastructure demands, but I think we'll see more startups and more publicly traded companies that fit into that space. There's going to be a lot of pressure on governments to privatize operations, particularly that can cash flow positively in the private market. I think that general trend has not worked very well, so it's not one I promote. I do think the big infrastructure investment is going to have to be led and organized by national governments and their consortiums or state governments where the state's big enough. And that's because the infrastructure is such an important ingredient to regional economic performance, and constructing it requires building lots of different constituencies and lots of risk management. And so it's going to continue to be the domain of government. At the same time, it's going to be very important to the regional economic performance, and so the trading of place-based ETFs. So as we see more of the equity markets financing and trading on a place-based basis through the ETFs, I think there's going to be more and more stress, same as the sovereign wealth funds. The more you have the place-based equity, the more that equity is going to be concerned on what it's going to take to get the returns long term, and that's always going to bring you back to infrastructure. And finally, with economic warfare raging globally, infrastructure is going to be at the heart of geopolitics. So it's not surprising to see that the Asians put together the Chinese put together the Asian investment, the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. It's so successful, it royally upsets the United States. And we see the United States in a panic get fast track passed, and then I suspect have something very big to do with crashing the Chinese equity markets. I think the Asian Investment Infrastructure Bank and its success in terms of attracting members from Europe was a big wake-up call for the Americans, and it's going to be one of the things that causes the Americans to start talking up infrastructure a lot more. They gave away the lead here, and I think they're going to be scrambling to think about how they get it back, not to mention the fact that fast track is going to cause trade both in the Atlantic and the Pacific to kick up when those agreements get passed. And that's going to call for far more infrastructure as well.